We're turning in God's Word to Hebrews chapter 9. If you were with us last Sunday evening, we were in this passage of Scripture, and we want to bring the second part of the text tonight. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And last Lord's evening we preached on the subject of death. And tonight we want to preach on the judgment day. But let's read God's word as we have it here in the chapter, Hebrews 9 and verse 22 through to the end of the chapter. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Two great facts are stated in this text that we're taking tonight, verse 27. Two appointments that every man and woman must keep. The appointment of death and the appointment of judgment. There is no escape for any. There's nowhere to hide from the reality of these appointments. In the general universal order of things, all men must face death and accordingly prepare for death. One day the Lord will come, and he will say to us, "Thou shalt die and not live. Your days are up. Your journey has ended. Your course is run. And you've reached the bounds of your habitation here in this life. Fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. Oh, we have not long to stay or to be in time." God has given to us all an allotted lifespan. He has decreed a certain period of time for us all to live on the earth. It may be long, it may be short, we do not know, but the time is set. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." There will come a moment in the journey of life, a point of time, unknown to any of us this evening. It may be tomorrow, maybe the next day, next week. It may not be for many years to come, but that day will come when the angel of death will be sent on his mission to call our souls from their earthly habitation. And that's a call that you and I are going to obey. We're going to hearken to the summons. There will be absolutely nothing that we can do, because it is appointed unto man once to die. In the calendar of Almighty God, there is a precise moment laid aside from all eternity for your death and for mine. God only made two exceptions in the history of the world. First of all, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. who was translated so that he should not see death. And one day Enoch was out walking with God, and he walked right into the presence of God in heaven. The other man, of course, was Elijah, who was taken up in a whirlwind. The mantle had fallen upon his successor, Elisha, and he watched Elijah as he was taken up into the very presence of the Lord. Two exceptions only in the history of the entire world. The only others that will escape natural death will be Christians who are alive at the coming of Jesus Christ. We don't know when that's going to be, but if you're alive when Jesus comes, you'll not die in the natural way. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But outside those exceptions, the two men in history, and at that point when Jesus comes back again, every man must go the way of all flesh. He must die. It is appointed unto men once to die. And I'm asking you to face up to this reality. There's no one here can deny this appointment. Common sense tells you that you're going to die someday. It's a reality, it's a fact. We look around us and the obituary columns every day in the newspaper proclaim loudly that death is real. The cemetery across the road, the other cemeteries in this land and graveyards, the stones that we have at the head of every grave, proclaiming loudly that death is a reality. The hearses, the undertakers, the funeral processions, the empty chairs, the broken hearts, the sorrowing spirits, all proclaiming that death is an appointment that we must keep. And death is no respecter of persons. But there's another appointment that our text speaks loudly about, that the Bible proclaims after this, the judgment. After death, there's going to be a judgment day. Though men acknowledge the reality of death, and they deny not that they must die someday, yet many refuse to face up to this second appointment that is so declared with divine authority in our text of Scripture tonight. They close their eyes, they shut their ears, they endeavor to put it out of their minds, and they ignore the fact that one day there's going to be a judgment. Well, I'm asking you tonight in this meeting to come out of your hiding place and to face the reality after this, the judgment. And I want to talk to you this evening, just for a little time in the closing minutes of this meeting, about the great judgment day. After this, the judgment. I read this statement of God's word, and the first thing that comes to my mind is that this day is sure, absolutely sure, it's certain. Men will one day come out of their graves to be judged. Now, a form of judgment has already taken place for those who have died outside the Lord. When the soul of an individual who knows not Jesus Christ as Savior leaves this scene of time, they go out into the place that the Bible in the Greek calls Hades. They go to the place that is called hell. Luke chapter 16 tells us about the two men at the point of death, where they were in eternity, where they were after death. One man was carried by the angels, and it's put in this graphic way, into Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, a place of blessedness. The other man, when he died, he was buried, but in hell he lifted his eyes in torments. He was in a place of flame. He was in a place of suffering. That man had gone there, but it's not the final judgment. The body and the soul will one day be reunited to stand in the court of God at his tribunal. And this event is absolutely certain. Why? Because God has said so in his word. After this, the judgment. It's God's appointment. The Apostle Paul, preaching on Mars Hill, speaking to the citizens of Athens, reminded them that there was going to be a judgment day. We had the privilege of visiting that place last year. We stood on Mars Hill. One of my colleagues, the Reverend John Gray, had the opportunity to preach Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. And he preached that message that Paul preached almost 2,000 years ago. He reminded the people on that occasion that there was a God. And you'll know that the people of Athens were superstitious. They were idolatrous. They had many gods. They didn't know the true God. And as Paul stood before them that day, he said, "Let me tell you who the true God is. The one that is unknown to you. He is the God that has created the heavens and the earth. He is the God not only of creation, but the God who sustains all things. And he has given to you life and breath and all things. In him we live and move and have our being." And having set God before the people, the apostle told them, there's coming a day when you're going to stand before this God. And in the light of that day, he called the people of Athens to repentance. He says, "God now commandeth all men to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." And Paul, standing there on Mars Hill, said to the people of Athens, "Here is the true God, the living God, and one day you're going to stand before him. It's an appointment that you must keep." My friend, let me tell you in this meeting, it's an appointment you must keep too. It is absolutely certain that you will be there on that day. Not only has the day of death for every individual been marked down, but the day of divine judgment has been determined. It is fixed. The Word of God consistently proclaims that such a day will come to pass for the inhabitants of the world. Men from the beginning of days till the end of time will stand before Almighty God in the judgment. Men from all walks of life, from all ranks of society, will be summoned to appear on that great day. Men from all parts of the world, all backgrounds, all ages, will rise to take their place on the solemn day of judgment. There is not a soul that has ever entered our world and walked upon this earth who will escape the judgment of God. Saint and sinner alike will come before the majesty of the Lord. I see the Christian standing there. Every redeemed soul will be summoned on that day to give an account of his life before the Lord, for the work that he's done, for the service that he has rendered. You remember when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he reminded them about the foundation of our faith. The foundation of our faith is Christ and Christ alone. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. And as Paul reminded the Corinthian church about the foundation of their faith, he talked to them about building upon the foundation. He's talking to Christians. And he's reminding them, in life, you're building. We're all building tonight. Every single Christian in this meeting house is building. If you're on the foundation, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been put into the foundation. My friend, your life is a life that is being built for the remainder of your days here upon the earth. And this is what Paul said as he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," that's the foundation of Christ, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And Paul is telling these Corinthian believers, you're on the foundation, you've been put into Jesus Christ, and now you're building. And you're using materials, and the picture is given here of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. This is the materials that are being used, and one day the fire test is going to be applied. That which is of wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. Wonder what you're building with tonight, dear Christian. What kind of life are you living for the glory of God? How do you conduct yourself? How do you serve the Lord? As the Lord has given you breath in your body, as he's given you precious time upon the earth, what are you building with? The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, as they pass through the fire test, they will flash all the brighter, and they will gleam on that day. And those who have been building with the gold, silver, and precious stones will receive a reward, says Paul. But those that have been building with the wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to suffer loss, but yet themselves will be saved on the great day of judgment. This is the judgment of believers, those who have built upon the foundation of Christ and His finished work. The Bible calls this scene the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Paul speaks of it again in Romans 14 and 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Both of these verses were written to believers, to God's people, talking about the day when they must answer to God. We should be seeking for the well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the life that we ought to be living. But you can't receive the well done unless you've done well. The other side of the judgment is called the great white throne. And we read about it in Revelation 20 and verse 11, where John was brought to see this solemn scene. And so he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Paul refers to this occasion when he mentioned the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Jude speaks about the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. My friend, I want to tell you, you can't escape the day of judgment. It is sure, it is certain, it is unavoidable. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this. Oh, there's always an after this. After this, the judgment, it's sure. As I thought of the judgment day, I thought of the word solemn. What an awful day it's going to be. Very solemn thing to think about, the day when we shall stand before Almighty God. I cannot imagine anything that is more solemn. You and I, as we have traversed this scene of time and walked in this world below, we have come across in our short lifetime many, many solemn scenes. We have been in the presence of death. Loved ones and friends have been taken. And as we have visited those homes, as we have stood at those coffins, as we have attended those funeral services, our hearts have been solemnized by the reality of death, and those have been very solemn in occasions indeed. We've had our Covenanter's trip. Every year we visit the sites of those who stood for the cause of the Savior in their day. Those that were tortured. Those that suffered much. Those that were martyred for their faith. We visited a castle where in a dungeon of that castle 160 covenanting men and women were held. A small enclosure. There was not enough room for them to lie down or even to sit. Many of them died in the course of the 2 months that they were held there. And our hearts were solemnized as we thought of the suffering that they must have endured and what they went through. Many scenes of solemnity may cross our minds just now, but my friend, there's not a scene like the scene of judgment. That solemn day when you and I will be called to stand at the judgment bar. There will be silence. There will be fear. There will be shame. Laughter will vanish, lightheartedness will fade away, mocking will have gone. I see the loss of this time standing there. I see family members standing there. I see you, my friend, if you die in your sins, standing before God on this day, the solemn scene of judgment. What a day that's going to be. And then I think of the sentence that will be passed. Sinners are not generally judged and punished in this life. Sometimes they are. Sometimes our cup of iniquity is so full that God is provoked to send judgment even in time. One of the scenes that the Bible tells us about where this happened is back there in Numbers chapter 16, in the case of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who rose up against Moses with certain of the children of Israel, we are told. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, important people in the day of Moses. And now they're raising themselves against the man of God that was appointed as their leader, Moses. And they gathered themselves together against him and against Aaron. And they said unto them, ye take too much upon you. And you begin to read this story, and you go on down to verse 28, where Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Here's a judgment in time, when 250 people are judged by the Lord, some of them being swallowed alive into the very pit of perdition. Others, the fire of God fell upon them and consumed them. They did not die an ordinary death. It was a miraculous happening, proving that day that Moses was the man of God, that God had appointed, that God had chosen, and that these men had raised themselves, not merely against Moses and Aaron, but against Almighty God himself. But that's not the usual. This is not the general rule. Sinners are not punished here. Their sentence is postponed until the day of judgment. We're speaking about something that's future. Peter tells of the unconverted being reserved unto the day of judgment to be punished. And this explains why the wicked often seem to prosper, why believers suffer. Don't we know many Christians that are suffering tonight? Don't we know many families that are passing through the darkness and they are believers? And we sometimes wonder why, as Christians, why in this life do God's people suffer so much trouble and so much hardship? And it seems that the ungodly, some of them the most wicked men that we could mention, they seem to get on in life and they seem to prosper. And everything seems to be bright as far as their life is concerned. My friend, their judgment is yet to be. Their judgment will be in eternity. One day they're going to stand before Almighty God, and one day the sentence will be passed, and what a fearful day that's going to be. But as far as the believer is concerned, this is the only life. There'll be no suffering. And thank God there's a glory that's going to be revealed one day that will surpass all the sufferings and will bring joy and gladness and eternal bliss to our existence forevermore. On the day of judgment, all who die without Jesus Christ will be sentenced. All their sins will be resurrected before them. Sins of a lifetime. Sins of childhood. Sins of young manhood and womanhood. Sins of middle age. Sins of old age. Sins of the body. Sins of the mind. sins of the eye, sins of the hearing, sins of the hand, sins against your fellow man, sins against God, sins against your body. And eternal and unchangeable verdict will be given on that day. And you will stand in silence before Almighty God. Oh, the day of great sentence is the judgment day. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And what is the substance of this judgment? It's according to their works. The psalmist tells us, thou renderest to every man according to his work. In Jeremiah 17 and 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Jesus himself in the New Testament said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Peter said, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. John said, the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You will be judged according to the things that you have done in this life, the works that you have performed. But you will also be judged according to your words. Did not the Savior say, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment? Every word that has left your lips will be required on the great day. And God will judge you according to every conversation that you have held. And you will be judged according to your wonderful privileges that were granted to you. You remember, the Savior spoke of this in Matthew 11 and verse 20 when he began to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. He begins to mention here those cities that had great privileges, more privileges than others. Chorazin, Bethsaida are mentioned by name. And Jesus says, for if the mighty works which were done on you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And then he singles out Capernaum. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And we think of the awful and despicable sins of Sodom, sins that are with us to this very day that are so abhorrent that in this day that we read about in Old Testament scriptures, God sent his judgment. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain for the wickedness that was raised in the sight of heaven. And yet God says for them it's going to be more tolerable than for these cities that had all the privileges of the gospel, that had the very Son of God walking within the precincts of those cities, preaching the gospel to that people. And my friend, let me remind you, God will judge you according to your privileges. It's going to be worse for you who know the gospel, who have had the gospel, who understand the truth, that you need to be saved, that you need to repent of your sin, that there is a Savior who is able to save you to the uttermost. It's going to be worse for you in the day of judgment than for the most wicked people you can think about tonight, those that have committed the most heinous of sins. Yes, you're going to be judged according to the wonderful privileges that you've had. You're going to render an account. And all's going to be brought to light. Oh, it's true that you can curse God here on earth. You can blaspheme his holy name. You can reject his Son and you can spurn the call of the Spirit. You can trample beneath your feet the precious blood of Christ. You can lie. You can cheat. You can swear. You can lust. You can commit adultery. You can commit murder and violence and every act of sin known to man. But be very sure, one day you are going to give an account to God. Be sure your sin will find you out. The Holy Spirit has kept a record of every single sin you've ever committed. As I think of the judgment day, I cannot help thinking about the Savior. Upon the throne of justice and truth is none other than the blessed Savior himself, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And the day is coming when the mercy of Jesus Christ will be changed into the wrath of Christ. When the garments of the mediator and Savior will be replaced by the robes of the judge. And as it has often been said, today he's your Savior. But on that day he will be your judge, not your Savior. And Jesus Christ will be seated upon the throne of glory. And all men shall be summoned to stand before him in the judgment. What a day that's going to be. And as I think of the judgment, finally I think about the separation. God's word tells of a day of final separation. Separation from Jesus. Remember the words that we're told that he will speak on that day? Depart from me. That's separation. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Separation from Jesus Christ. Separation from the saints of God. The picture is given of the shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. The sheep he sets on the right hand, the goats he sets on the left. The sheep representing the people of God, the goats representing those that are unconverted. There's going to be a separation. The unconverted are going to be separated forever from the believing church, from the people of the Lord. How awful when the sinner is taken on the judgment day and sentenced to everlasting hell and separation for all eternity from heaven and glory and happiness and thrust down into the very fires of a lost eternity. We can't imagine what that day is going to be like. The judgment day is one day nearer today than it was yesterday. And the cross of Jesus Christ divides this gathering tonight. There are those that are on the right side. They're saved by the grace of God and they know Christ. There's others that are on the wrong side. And they know not the Savior. Mothers on the right side. Children of the family on the wrong side. Wives on the right side. Husbands on the wrong side. Friends and neighbors. One day will be separated forever. Have you ever thought about the judgment day? You ever thought about the separation that is going to take place then? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? For what you do with Jesus Christ will determine what he will do with you. Pontius Pilate, on that day of judgment, when Jesus was standing before him, asked the most important question that any man or woman could ever ask or answer. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Question that we've been faced with many, many times. We've sat in gospel meetings. We've listened to the word of God being preached. The question has come to our minds and hearts. What will we do with him? The Savior of man. Jesus, who was called Christ. The anointed one of God. The blessed Redeemer. Now we ask the question, what shall we do with him? On the great and solemn day of judgment, he will be deciding what he will do with you. And if you die without his mercy and without the forgiveness of sin, without the cleansing of the blood, it'll be separation for all of God's eternity. It's appointed unto man once to die. But don't forget the after this. The after this is the judgment. And one day you'll stand before Almighty God. How will you stand on that day? For every believer we will stand with boldness on that day, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, with the covering of his precious blood. But for those who know not Christ, you'll have no standing, and you'll hear the words of eternal separation, depart from me. My friend, we've sought to be faithful these two Sunday nights. We have brought to your attention two appointments that you must keep: death and judgment. Preacher, I know one day I'm going to die. No one can deny that. Please do not deny the after this. God Almighty tells us in his word, after this, there is a judgment. How will you stand? You need a standing. You need the Savior. You need the covering of His righteousness. My friend, you need to be saved. And if you're not saved, I plead with you in Jesus' name to be reconciled to God, to come to know the Savior tonight. As Tommy said, as we often do on a Sunday night, we say, if there's one here without Christ and we can help you, well then don't go away without the Savior. Let us open up the Bible and show you how you can be saved, how you can start for heaven tonight and know your sins forgiven. We're here after the meeting to help you all we can. Don't go away without Him.